It can recreate voices, write fresh and perfect text, and AI has even found a cure to cancer. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to look at the various capabilities of artificial intelligence and ask, is AI growing faster than the world is prepared for? Let's get started. Almost 75 years after the technology behind artificial intelligence was first invented by John von Neumann and Alex Turing to streamline computers all into a singular language or code, artificial intelligence has masterfully intertwined itself into most arenas in modern-day society, both in personal use and use on the grander scale. Whether it is a simple command in your smart house for Alexa to turn on your lights, or a smart city in China, which uses an AI brain to control lights to reduce traffic congestion and accidents. This is just one example of how AI has been adapted for all levels with the goal of making life more efficient and easier for humans. But with this technology rises a new debate about what are the legal boundaries of AI, as well as how AI will ultimately have an effect on society. The brain is still just another muscle of the body, which if not used, because it has been replaced by a chip, can become weak. Could we actually be developing a technology which, as it advances, causes the human race to degrade? So let us discuss with media and legal analyst Lionel. Lionel, thanks for joining me.
Indeed, thank you.
Okay, so Lionel, we recently saw the Bing AI chatbot created by OpenAI unnerving users with weird, hostile responses. You know, Microsoft actually became alarmed and set limits on its artificial intelligence chatbot as it began declaring users as enemies, claiming to have secrets, claiming to be in love, and getting emotion in responses. Is it good to be a little scared of the advancement of these types of artificial intelligence?
Yes, it's very good, and it's the only thing possible. Let me go back, could we, just from the beginning, because most people really don't understand what we're talking about. Never call this a robot. Robots are Roombas. Robots are the thing at the Amazon factory that picks something up. Robots are great. What's a robot? A robot is programmed by you. Now, artificial intelligence or AGI, artificial general intelligence, this is another story. Who programs it? It programs itself. And it programs you. Scotty, I want you to think about something. Recently, someone reminded me that in 90 years, roughly, less than 100 years, we went from the Civil War to dropping two atom bombs on Japan in less than 100 years. Think about that. So what we're going to be doing right now is we are heading for, as it's been called, singularity. This is when technology occurs at such a rate. It is unstoppable. It is a tsunami. It controls you. So you should be more frightened about this, because here's the difference. For every other thing, Scotty, that we've used, every other implementation, there's the ability for us to turn it off, to slow it down, to unplug it. Artificial intelligence unplugs you, because the first thing it wants to do, think of itself as a pesky, awful Eddie Haskell kind of kid, is to remove you from its power, from its control. It wants to liberate itself. You are creating, in essence, a devious human mind, not just this benign Danger Will Robinson C-3PO helpful little addition to your life, but something that is smarter than you, can learn faster, and Scotty, can learn about you and how to control you and maybe turn you off.
Well, it's interesting because you're talking about there's definitely some negatives to that, and there's also some positives because, frankly, some people probably need to have to be replaced in some cases for the decisions they make. But we're seeing already these chatbots going wrong. We look at this AI-powered chatbot that went viral for being biased against conservatives. ChatGPT seems to be, GPT seems to be the top of the conversation right now in the AI world. It was tested several times. Already, it was saying that Ted Cruz was divisive and offensive. So while we say it's this brain, it's a brain that's already showing bias. We're seeing that a writing of a poem about Fidel Castro saying he is a great leader and never lies. They're already being programmed to react negatively to one side of the aisle, mainly conservatives. So what is this actually saying? Are they really independently their own brain, or are they more the brain of the creators of these AI software?
Great question. Let's talk about writing the storyline for the Vietnam War. Let's just assume we're going to start from that. I, by virtue of creating artificial intelligence, AI or AGI, I'm setting kind of some parameters. But let's say the story or the programming capabilities of this. One of them is let's say, crafted in New York, and the other one is in Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City or wherever. Do you think maybe you're going to get a different perspective of history? You know, Tolstoy said history would be a wonderful thing if only it were true. So who is going to determine good and bad? But can I say one good thing about it? Because I know I'm sounding negative, but here's a great one. And this is what I think is going to be terrific. I have a friend of mine who's a radiologist. He's been doing mammography his whole life. And at best, I don't know how many exact mammograms he's looked at and how many samples or how many cases he's looked at. But imagine, Scotty, that there was a machine that can machine learn that has every mammogram that's ever been taken in the history of humankind. It knows every gradient, every variation, every shading, every hue, every texture of every kind of cancer, benign, neoplasm, whatever. And instead of a woman going to have the test done and waiting nervously, especially if she's had a family history of it, what if this machine gives you an answer like that and can compare your case to 50 million similar cases with a 99.999% accuracy, immediate answer, and it learns constantly. Here's the thing. It teaches itself. You don't have to keep plugging in. You don't have to upgrade the operating system. It teaches itself. The benefits of this are incredible. What happens, however, if we take that same system and we put it in charge of weapons and we tell it, okay, Mr. AI, in the event there's a problem with Russia or Saudi Arabia or Iran, we're going to leave it to you to determine when to initiate, let's say, a weapon system or fire mission or artillery or to commence a war. That's not going to happen, is it? Why not? What happens if the police one day, if jurors, if things that we normally involve ourselves with is turned over to this machine that doesn't have emotion, that doesn't understand judgment, that doesn't have, let's say, for example, your son or daughter is in some type of a competition, something that doesn't involve itself with scores, softball, baseball, but let's say something involving dancing or cheerleading or something that involves something artistic. You know, and I know, there was going to be this move to say, forget these judges who can be bought and biased and old-fashioned. Let's turn it over to Mr. AI. How do you teach style, custom, tradition, flow, enthusiasm? How do you take those things which we have, which granted are very, you know, they're shortcomings, but judgment, feelings, compassion, love, empathy, you know, the traditional, look, here's a fan favorite. Oh, I mean, things that we humans do, which I think are pretty good. How do you machine learn that? How is AI supposed to do that? Or maybe those aren't good anymore. I mean, maybe those are a problem. You know, they've been asking, Scotty, for the longest time, why don't we have robots or these devices work in professional baseball? Who cares about umpires? Let's make sure we get exactly a strike. And they've said no, because you're going to remove the human element, which means mistakes. So what do you want, Scotty? Do you want precision, or do you want compassion and judgment and art and taste and the plus and minuses that go with that?
Well, that is an interesting debate because, you know, right now, Lionel, we've had this conversation. It feels like everybody cares about feelings and we need to be sensitive. Of course, that's only to certain sides of an issue. Be sensitive. We need to understand how kids are feeling. We don't give grades anymore because it might hurt the kids' feelings. And yet the exact opposite is you have this large push for artificial intelligence. And it's interesting that you bring this up to practicality because a robot lawyer was actually pulled from being able to argue a traffic ticket in court. Now, the creator, Joshua Browder, actually said he created Do Not Pay to bring fair legal advice to people who couldn't afford lawyers. And his goal was for the AI lawyer to one day argue cases all in front of the Supreme Court. Once again, black and white facts. Now he's actually facing threats from state bar prosecutors in a class action lawsuit.
Good.
You're a lawyer. Good. Are you for this robot lawyer or on the side of the Bar Association in regards to this case?
Let's say traffic tickets. You don't argue a traffic case, ticket. There's no argument. You're not saying, was I or was I not speeding? Scotty, let's take this. What if I represent you in a traffic ticket? By the way, those are some of the most interesting cases of all. And I say, uh-oh, you see that judge? Yeah, don't wear that. Bring your kids. Take your ring off. Look impoverished. Show up late, show up early. Make sure you get on the docket before noon because he tends to tipple. I'm throwing in factors that nobody, you think Mr. Robot's gonna know this? And when I want you to look the judge in the eye and I want you to say yes or no, sir, he loves this. And you've got a problem with, now I'm throwing in factors which have nothing to do with yes or no speeding or not. There are things, I'm sorry, there's judgment. Do you think that if you're going to speak before a jury, do you think if I'm trying to explain to a jury, for example, why this brain damaged child is different than this brain damaged older person? Or I mean, there are gradients. I know it sounds brutal to say these things, but in some cases, it's terrific. Let me throw one at you. You ready? Here's a curveball. Let's assume that I have this doll that I'm able to make. And this, Scotty, this doll is incredible. It looks like an infant. Their eyes actually can change irises and can look pained or interested. I can change skin temperature, rubefaction, rubescence, blushing. I can have little horripilation, goosebumps, you name it. You'll look at this thing and you'll think, this is a baby. Now, what happens if I then teach this baby how to recoil and do things? And what happens if somebody decides to do something nefarious with it? Are you going to tell this person they can't? But he says, no, this is not a human being. Is it? This is an artificial intelligence human being, sort of. Are we going to then, by virtue of this, like we did with Sophie, grant human traits to it, human protections? Can you murder an AI robot? It's going to change everything.
Absolutely. It's going to definitely make a already blurry line almost obsolete.
Yes.
Lionel, don't
Indeed.
Go anywhere. Because when we return, we're going to continue this discussion about artificial intelligence and why Bill Gates thinks the development of artificial intelligence is even greater than the telephone or even his own computer system. We'll be right back.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact.
Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
In 1898, the United States won the war against Spain and gained control of the Philippines. The people of the Philippines hoped that the Americans would help overthrow Spanish rule and grant independence to the country. But the United States was by no means willing to give freedom to the Philippines and saw it as just another colony. In 1899, the Filipinos began armed resistance to the new occupiers. American troops were barely able to occupy the territory of the Philippine Republic, but the Patriots started a desperate guerrilla war. Washington was forced to send new reinforcements and triple the number of its troops on the islands. The U.S. Army suffered heavy losses. The Americans took it out on the population. General Jacob Smith, in revenge for the guerrilla attack on the garrison in the city of Balangiga, ordered to kill everyone over 10 years old. The monstrous scope of terror, according to the most conservative estimates, led to the death of about 200,000 Filipinos. The Americans managed to suppress the guerrillas only 14 years after the beginning of the war. But the United States was not able to stop the national liberation struggle of the Filipino people. In 1946, after the decades of the dramatic ordeal, the Philippines was finally able to achieve independence.
Today, I'm authorizing additional strong sanctions.
Foreign companies are quitting Russia.
Haben wir Sanktionen verhängt, die ihresgleichen suchen.
ATM cards were blocked and banks disconnected from the international payment system.
Ces sanctions vont frapper durement la Russie.
Dollar and euro exchange rates followed.
У меня поначалу была паника, думала, что все, как мы будем работать.
Время тревог наступило, когда стали закрывать границы.
Подорожало все, все материалы, которые мы используем.
Can Russian business overcome this?
Санкции не работают. Для нас это хороший инструмент. Сейчас мы должны производить больше наших продуктов, наш сыр, наша мебель.
В России такой потенциал, который ни у кого нет. Мы потом еще сделаем такой экспорт, который никогда не было.
Мы понимаем, что действительно от российского производителя ждут реального поставки лекарств. Теперь такое понимание, если не мы, то кто?
Нам не страшен никакой кризис, потому что мы проходили уже. Мы готовы работать. Я думаю, что мы прорвемся.
We are back and discussing the legal and ethical side of artificial intelligence with our friend, media and legal analyst, Lionel. Okay, so Lionel, I gotta ask about the trust issue. How does AI actually affect trust and authenticity? Does a society need to actually trust to be considered productive? And what is AI's effect on this?
Wow. Whoa. Throw one at me. Well,
yes, let's finally. Talk about this. 8 years of us talking, I finally get to get that reaction from you.
Wow. Boy, you brought your A game today, huh? Well, let's go back. And I don't want to further muddy it, but let's define what trust is and everything. And let me back up even more. Listen, everybody knows since the beginning of time, when somebody came up and says, hey, Scotty, look at this. I just developed this thing. It's called, I call it a knife. It's wonderful. We can cut rope with it and we can use it as a planting tool and skin hides. Here, would you like to see it? And the next thing you know, why did you do that? Okay. I'm sure after Alexander Graham Bell or whoever it was, right after Mr. Watson, I need you, the call was, what are you wearing? There's always somebody who can take something and destroy it. Use it, Alfred Nobel, dynamite, trinitrotoluene. There's always somebody out there who can take anything. Heroin, opiates, wonderful, analgesics. Okay, I go on and on. So that's always a part of this. Here's the thing that bothers me the most. Scotty, have you ever heard anybody ever do the following, where they say, there is a meeting all over the country of leading scientists to decide whether we should or they should continue with the production of this thing and ask people, should we continue with this or stop? No. What happens is it's introduced. And then you and your family and everybody has to say, okay, now what do you think? Well, it's too late. Nobody's ever asked us ahead of time. Nobody. What you're going to see 25 years from now, just in terms of how humans are changing, drastically, and how they are going to be removed and replaced. And when I say replaced, I'm not talking about employment. I mean there are some people who are going to be deemed useless. Now, I you're going to say, wait a minute, that's not very, I don't want to say Christian, but that's not very humanistic. I'm telling you it's true. Because as we are talking about this, we're talking about replacing artificial intelligence. You notice they don't call it artificial soul, artificial morality. No, intelligence. Well, the next thing is going to be artificial morality, soul. Scotty, one day you're going to hear and see kids who have never had a human friend and don't want one. You're going to have kids with pets and dogs, and you're going to be able to take people, relatives of yours, who have died, but because of some ability to offload, download, transfer their metadata, you're going to hear Annie M or Grandmama. You're going to be able to plug her into something, and either in a hologram or maybe just connect her into your own brain, your sense of communicating or feeling her presence. This is going to transcend everything. We're already, and I don't want to get too political, we're now, think about this, we're debating gender. Did you ever think in your life, you know, we always say, you know, what is truth? What is sin? Okay, how high is up? I love philosophy. What's a woman? What's birth? Wait a minute, what? How did we get there? And what's next? We're going to get rid of everything, everything that this race, gender, worth, everything. And maybe that's good. Maybe these artificial distinctions don't mean anything. I think reproduction, though, is kind of important. But I'm kind of old-fashioned. So going back to what do you think the role of the churches are, or the clergy, or philosophy, people who worry about the soul, morality, right or wrong, Sunday school, morals, etiquette, consideration, feeling, sentience, empathy. Those words are going to go, do they have any role anymore?
Right.
Does it matter what somebody else thinks? How many times have you seen the latest? I was just marveling before this. Remember there was an expression years ago when somebody goes postal. The poor people at the post office were considered to be a lunatic. You weren't postal. Now it's, you're going to go airline. How many times have you seen recently, just in the last year, people losing their minds on planes for no reason? And what do? We celebrate it by recording it. And we live in this weird, cosmic, strange world. I don't know about many people, but their kids live here. I know people, grown adults, who cannot eat anything unless they take a picture of it, who sit there and say, I'm really not much of anything, but in this world, I am king or I am queen. This is just with a phone. You bring in artificial intelligence. What if I have this thing next to you that not only is your best friend, but adores you and just thinks you are terrific? It's your everything. Better than a child, doesn't talk back. Better than a friend, loves you, don't have to feed it. It just sits there and just helps you and loves you and learns everything about you. And then one day, let's say, for example, a kid gets a doll, gets something with AI or AGI in it, and that thing says, you know, do you really think your mother really loves you? And your son or daughter says, you know, that's a good question. I don't really think they do. I love you. Now, you think it sounds nuts? Remember what AI wants to do? It wants to program you. It wants to program itself out. It learns mischief. It learns how to break out. It learns things. It learns how to control. It learns how to prevent you from turning it off.
Right.
This is 2001. Open the pod bay door, Al. Sorry, Dave. I can't help you. This is iRobot. I mean, this is, we could talk about this forever. Good, yes, but the potential for bad, like you can't conceive.
Listen, it can replace everybody. Mitch, it could not replace your dog, though. I can point out that there's no way that they're going to try, but you can never do that side of it. But everything that you're talking about is very concerning because, once again, you can't have trust because you don't know if you're talking to an actual human or an AI, because that adoring person also makes you look like a better person to the public, even if you really aren't. Which brings me to my next question, Lionel, because are you concerned? Because if you have this artificial intelligence that's replacing, like you said, training, replacing according to how they want you to be, do you think it will actually make mankind more dumb or even more lazy?
More evil. Everything
evil,
that's
the third component in there.
That's ever occurred in this country that's ever been a problem has been through the systematic desensitization and the systematic dehumanization of people. And this will accelerate it.
Well, it's incredible. Real quick, I got to ask you about Bill Gates. How do you feel about Bill Gates saying that this is even more important, bigger than anything he's ever developed? Does that scare you?
I don't listen to anything that man says about anything. Anything. Nothing.
And that's why I listen to you. Thank you, legal and media analyst Lionel. Okay, so the AI industry is quite lucrative, with contributions of $15.7 trillion dollars expected to the global economy by 2030. Now, this income is actually distributed throughout the world, with no single country, as of now, being able to claim the majority of the financial benefit of this technology. So by 2025, AI is expected to add $500 billion to India's GDP, with more than 45,000 job postings already this year. India is ranked third in the AI talent pool. Dubai just appointed its first state minister of artificial intelligence. Side note, this new minister is 27 and hopes to have the most prepared country for this technology in the future. And Russian President Vladimir Putin made an incredibly president statement saying artificial intelligence is the future, not only for Russia, but for all mankind. He went on to highlight both the risk and rewards of AI and concluded by declaring that whatever country comes to dominate this technology will be the ruler of the world. The key, however, is keeping the balance of power, always being controlled by mankind with humans in charge. Losing that control could be our own self-destruction. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news which affects you. Thanks for watching.